Hello, and welcome to this special edition of the Multimedia Men podcast, where we're going to talk about the world wrestling entertainment business. I'm Brian Kluger. I'm with Tom Nix from Oklahoma of the Smart Marks podcast. Hi, Tom. And I'm also with Mike Pertil from Los Angeles. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Really good.
I guess since the last time we all talked, there has been quite a bit of news regarding the WWE. So let's start from the beginning. The Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. What did you guys think about that?
In 1985, Vince McMahon started WrestleMania.
Start at the very beginning.
In the 1950s, Vince McMahon Sr. was a charitable promoter.
Excellent. So
I'll talk Elimination Chamber. Okay. I think I might be in the minority, but I genuinely loved it.
What'd you like about it?
So, Shield versus Wyatt was incredible. Like, I was standing up in my apartment for a large chunk of it. And that was worth the Sunday evening by itself. And then I thought that the Elimination Chamber match itself was great. I mean, I think that I didn't want Daniel Bryan to win the championship at Elimination Chamber and then head into WrestleMania defending it. I'm loving the chase, and, you know, this, I think that the Elimination Chamber match itself hopefully puts to bed any idea that Daniel Bryan's being buried, because he was the best guy in the match, and it took all kinds of shady doings by Kane and Randy Orton to take him down. And I think that sets up this match that, you know, and now we're spilling into Raw a little bit, but that sets up that match with Triple H of, you know, he's finally going to get to take out the authority that's been holding him down for 6 months. I mean, that's a pretty good story. Like, I'm enjoying this storyline, and I'm in.
What do you think, Tom?
I have problems with the Daniel Bryan Triple H match, which we'll talk about once we get to Raw. And I agree with Mike that the storyline itself, like the conceptual storyline of Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, makes perfect sense and is a very logical thing for the WWE to be pursuing as one of their main events of WrestleMania. And I have absolutely zero issues conceptually with that match taking place, even at WrestleMania. But I do have some pretty big issues with the way they're booking it. And we'll get to that once we talk to Raw. But as far as the Elimination Chamber goes, I'm not sure. I mean, are there really a lot of people who didn't like the event? Like, I know there are people that are, I guess, upset that Daniel Bryan didn't win, but Mike's exactly right. That's the wrong time to pull the trigger on a Daniel Bryan title reign. It's just not right from any perspective. And yes, it does get old, and it does get frustrating when he continually loses matches from interference. But that is the story they needed to tell, and he absolutely came out of that match looking like the strongest competitor in it. I definitely wish Cesaro was given a little more to do. I wish that Cesaro took out someone, I guess, bigger. I understand that they had to start the Bray Wyatt-Cena feud on the way to WrestleMania, but I would have really liked to have seen Cesaro take out Cena before getting taken out himself by whoever. I think you could build that guy up to look amazingly strong and not give him a victory. But really, the whole pay-per-view, most of it anyway, was extremely good. Shield Wyatt's match was probably one of the best matches I've seen in a long time, and that's saying something when this year alone, we've already gotten Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble. We've already gotten Cesaro Cena match from 2 weeks ago, and we just got Sami Zayn Cesaro tonight on NXT Arrival, that's four legitimately incredible matches so far in 2 months. That's a lot of really, really high-quality wrestling matches in a small amount of time. And that's not counting, you know, all the Gold Dust, Rhodes, Shield tag matches that we've gotten, and the Cesaro-Orton match, which was very good, not, you know, blow-the-roof-off amazing. But we are getting solid, good wrestling matches. I mean, even Sheamus Christian from last week was an excellent match. And we're getting better and better and better and better wrestling matches on a week-to-week basis. And that Shield Wyatt match, from an everything perspective, psychology, booking, performance, every single aspect you can analyze wrestling in, that match stood head and shoulders above a lot of what's being produced. And a lot of what's being produced right now is friggin' awesome. So that says a lot.
So I want to move on to Raw from this week, which is February 24th, 2014. And I want to go into where Undertaker came out with Brock Lesnar to sign a contract to wrestle, and everybody was chanting overrated. Why do you think that is?
Wait, really? I didn't pick up on that when I was watching the show.
I didn't hear that chant either.
Really?
Are you sure they weren't chanting Undertaker and you're just a jaded son of a bitch?
I could have sworn they were chanting overrated, but I'm not sure. Well, what do you think about that match? Would you think that Undertaker is going to pass the torch to Brock Lesnar, and do you think that's viable?
No, and he never should. And that's the problem with this match, is that you've got a, you know, next to 50-year-old man who can still work. I'm not trying to poo-poo on the Undertaker, because he certainly has proven over the last, you know, 4 to 5 years that even at his age, he can still put on one hell of a match. But he's been putting on matches against people that are known for professionally wrestling, and this time he is going up against someone who is known for shoot murdering people. So it's going to be an odd match, and it's going to be a very good match, because we've all seen Brock Lesnar sell, and we know how athletic he is. He can make The Undertaker look great. He is a phenomenal wrestler and athlete, and it's going to be a good match, but I really don't think there's anybody in the world who legitimately thinks The Undertaker has a single shot against Brock Lesnar, quote-unquote, in real life. Like, when Brock Lesnar inevitably loses, and he will and should lose, it's still going to be, well, of course that had to happen. It's the streak. He's never going to beat it. You know, there's never that doubt, because everyone has to immediately suspend their disbelief, because they know if this was booked as a match, it would be over in 5 minutes, and Undertaker would be missing body parts.
Well, see, that's how
it would unfold.
But at
the same time, if you're willing to go into it knowing this is just going to be a show, you're going to watch two big hossy men beat the crap out of each other as much as they possibly can, given one's age and given the other one's, you know, penchant for actually hitting people, it's going to be enjoyable, and I'm all for it, because I do think it is going to be a good match, but I just think this is that Lesnar is not the appropriate feud for Taker at this stage in his career. He's just too old to fight someone like Lesnar believably, where if this was 4 years ago, back when he was fighting Michaels, that would have been a different story. But I honestly think that Daniel Bryan would have been as good or better of an opponent for The Undertaker than Brock Lesnar.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think that I've got this, you know, little suspicion that in Brock Lesnar's, you know, massive WWE contract, he threw in, you know, as a last demand, and FYI, I want to end the Undertaker streak. And so that's the, I mean, right? Because, I mean, obviously, like, nobody thinks that the streak should end probably ever. but you could conceivably see, you know, like, I don't know, maybe some up-and-comer in the perfect moment. It doesn't make any sense for Brock Lesnar to beat The Undertaker, because, like, Brock Lesnar's a known killing machine. Nobody's going to be more impressed with him by beating The Undertaker. Yeah. Having said that, I think it's going to be a surprisingly exciting match. I think there will be at least, you know, 3 or 4 half-second beats in the match where you have that thought of, holy shit, is The Undertaker really going
to
lose?
Yeah, well, see, that brings me to a point.
That's good enough for me, and I'm excited.
So that brings me to a point of, backlash 2002-2003 when Hulk Hogan fought Triple H, and Hulk Hogan won. And I was at that live in Kansas City, and it just killed me to see Triple H lose to Hulk Hogan. And just didn't see the match being believable, but
only time in his life that Triple H has ever been a transitional champion.
Yeah. But I just hope it doesn't end like that. But I will say that Undertaker is a much better wrestler than Hulk Hogan, and he's proved that over the years.
Remember a couple years ago, after Brock lost a UFC fight, The Undertaker gave him that death stare.
Yeah,
and challenged him to a fight.
Yeah,
and that's what I mean. Like, that would have been the time to do it. Like, Taker was still old; he was 45 or 46. Yeah. Probably 45 at that time. But, like, that year was the year, I believe, that he basically put on one of the greatest matches in history against Shawn Michaels. Like, he could clearly go. Watching him last year against CM Punk, it's a good match, but you could tell that those 3 years of not being a regular in-ring competitor have cost him a little something. And, like I said, now he's pushing 50, and I think the only way to book this match is to make it what Mike said, which is 30 minutes or 20 minutes of Undertaker almost dying before he pulls something out of his ass and beats Brock Lesnar with a tombstone or a devil's gate or whatever.
What did he do on that?
Which is fine, but, like, there is just no way to book this match in any other way than Undertaker barely survives the monster. Because there's just no way to tell that story with the way that Taker is in physically and all that kind of stuff. It has to be a match where, you know, the whole audience is like, we know he can't win, but from what I'm seeing, we know he can't lose, but from what we're seeing, there's no way he can win this. So when he does, it's actually surprising. It has to be that way, where Brock just mercilessly beats him for 20 minutes and then loses somehow, through whatever means necessary. That's the only way to tell this story. That's the only way it's going to work.
I hope it works that way. I mean, I hope it's a great match. I know it will be. I just hope so. Moving on, last time we all talked, we thought CM Punk was leaving the business, and it turns out that CM Punk hasn't shown up in a while, so do you think he'll come back for WrestleMania?
So, I think, and I have, I mean, I've been actively avoiding wrestling rumor sites for the past couple weeks because they start to kind of drain the enjoyment out of the show for me.
Sure.
I've got nothing. I've got no information whatsoever, so, I mean, if CM Punk's dead, that'd be a shame, and I don't know, but
well, on his Twitter account, he hasn't posted anything since he left, like, saying thanks.
Okay, so that's still going on, so that's great. So here's my thing. I think that if not Monday, then maybe the following week, Vince McMahon brings CM Punk back and puts him into the title match at WrestleMania.
Whoa, really? That's a big statement.
Because I think that if you go back to the last time we saw Vince, there was some struggle within the authority about what was best for business, and they ended up going with Randy Orton, and then from there, I think that him leaving and CM Punk leaving in the first place, that probably happened. You know, I don't think that this was planned by any means. But I think that Vince McMahon is unusually persuasive. I think they're going to be in Chicago on Monday. He'll have a chance to, I'm sure he'll get a chance to meet with CM Punk. And at that time, I think that they will make it work, because there is no way that we see a main event match of Batista and Randy Orton by itself under no special circumstances as the main event of WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, you never know. That does seem to be the way they're going now. And I think it's possible that what you're saying could very well happen. I mean, this week's Raw is going to be a big, cornerstone in how they book the rest of WrestleMania, because there is absolutely no way they are not going to deal with an extremely hostile crowd in Chicago. And they're already, there's already a Twitter account set up as a hijack Raw Chicago account. It's going to happen. That whole show is going to be 20,000 people screaming CM Punk. But here's the thing. This is where it gets interesting on that subject of, you know, does CM Punk come back for the WrestleMania main event? Because clearly that's one of the things that he was upset about, was that, you know, he's worked for however long and he's been there for however long, and one of the last things he wants to do, you know, on the record, is truly main event a WrestleMania, be in the last match on the card. And, you know, he's gone in as champion and didn't get to main event WrestleMania, which I'm sure that made him fairly upset. And now, you know, some old guy who, as we've seen, can no longer wrestle pretty much entirely, has now, waltzed in and taken that spot again. But here's the thing. If CM Punk does come back and he is placed in the main event match, which, if he does come back, I don't know what else you would do with him but that. I can't see him starting a feud with anybody, because obviously they've given his rumored Triple H match to Daniel Bryan. But if he just gets inserted in the title match, isn't he now one of the biggest heels? Because in real life, he basically threw a temper tantrum, more or less, left, and then basically said, listen, the guy that you want to be champion, just give him my match, and then I'll get his championship slot at WrestleMania. And CM Punk is forcing him into the place where everyone wants to see Daniel Bryan at. How do you cheer for a guy who basically just, you know, said, the whole world loves this guy. Let me, in real life, screw him out of a title match because I don't want to wrestle anymore.
Well, I think that's why we get a CM Punk Daniel Bryan feud immediately after WrestleMania. But yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be in my made up scenario in which CM Punk comes back on Monday. I think that people will be so excited that he's not Batista or Randy Orton, so excited that he's back, that he will be the hero in this title storyline. But CM Punk is way better as a heel than he is as a face. And so that, I think that simple, you know, he could be brought back under the auspices of Vince McMahon as proof from Vince McMahon that Triple H doesn't know what's best for business on TV. And then I think that coming out of WrestleMania, he could certainly be a better heel than he ever was, especially when put opposite Daniel Bryan.
And I really have a feeling that he's not showing back up. That he is gone. Yeah. I really think he's gone, not gone, let me rephrase. I do not think we have seen the last CM Punk match. I do not believe that. But it would not surprise me at all if he stays gone for the rest of this year and he makes his return at the Royal Rumble 2015, leading into WrestleMania, and does a little part-time stint and maybe leaves after that WrestleMania. But I don't see a reason for him to come back. Unless he is thrown into the title thing. But then again, even if he is, his contract's up in July, and I don't think he's going to re-sign. So at this point, I mean, I guess I just feel like for CM Punk, he's just going to not come back. And I think the WWE is completely prepared for dealing with a Chicago crowd that's going to boo them and going to say CM Punk all the time. I'm not sure how they're going to deal with it, but I think they're prepared for it. And I would be surprised if anyone in the corporate office is really that psyched about CM Punk coming back. I think if he does come back on Monday, they are basically going to say, okay, you're back, but because you had because you breached your contract with us, we're going to make you add on this many months to it, or we're going to make you re-sign an agreement that says you're staying through WrestleMania 31, or we're not going to bring you back, and we'll just let you wait out the rest of your contract and see you. I don't feel like they're just going to bend over backward and say, oh, you want to come back now? Great, come on back. Because I think it's been proven in the last 2 months that, aside from a small group of people that like to chant his name when they get bored, no one misses him. Daniel Bryan's doing a great job. They've already built up Cesaro as well as they can in a small amount of time. Sheamus is having good matches. The Shield and the Wyatt family are more than picking up the slack. I certainly don't miss seeing him on TV, because the last couple of months of watching him was watching someone who hated his job working, and it wasn't fun.
I miss him. I think he's still the best guy. I mean, I don't think he was the best guy for the last couple months, but
I think
he certainly had.
I mean, of all the wrestling merchandise,
I have way more
CM Punk merchandise than anything else, and he is amazing. He is absolutely amazing, but I can't believe that 2 months off is going to cure all of his ill and cure all of his bad attitude towards his bosses and towards the product. I really think we're not going to see him again until next year. I really think he is gone. I don't think he's going to take that 2 months off and then come back with a, you know, reinvigorated attitude and, you know, I'm going to go back and, you know, wow the pants off of everybody and be the best in the world again. I just don't think that's enough time for him to get his head straight. I think if he comes back, he is going to fall right back into the cycle of this is a bored person doing something he no longer has a passion for. And if he has to take a full year off and come back at the Royal Rumble and come back to a huge ovation and stay for 3 or 4 months and kick ass all the way to WrestleMania 31, which he probably will, that's the way you book that guy's return. I think if you rush it, you're just going to get 2013 Punk, and you're not going to get 2012 Punk, which was the best character and best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, unless he has some interest in being the guy to put Daniel Bryan over for the title.
But why would that? I guess from a booking perspective, they've been so hesitant to put him over now. Like I said, we'll talk about the booking thing a little bit later. But they've been so hesitant to put him over in a big way so far, and all the signs point to the fact that they're not going to put him over at WrestleMania as the champion. You know, why would they bring back someone who has legitimate heat with a lot of people, and even some fans that were, you know, that liked him a lot, are now kind of like, well, you just walked out on us when you could have been doing great things. I mean, why would they give that guy the title and expect him to put someone over that they have no willingness to put over at this time?
So do you think on this last Raw where Del Rio defeated Batista, which was odd, but everybody was booing Batista, and it seems like Batista is supposed to be the face here, but he's clearly the heel with the audience.
Yep.
So
yeah, I mean, I think he's Batista's getting booed at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way around that, which is fine because, you know, I think he could be a pretty compelling heel. He was in his last run.
Yeah, he was great. He was great in 2010.
Yeah, I also think, I mean, I'm all for booing Batista. I've got no problem with that. I'm all for whoever, cheering whoever. That's all good and fine. It takes a special kind of stupid to think that by paying the WWE to sit in their arena and presumably buying their merchandise and, you know, then going home and watching the recorded broadcast on your DVR, that you are somehow hijacking a show. Yeah. You know, like, I think that the crowd on Monday night was one of the worst heels in wrestling history in that they thought that they were the star of the show and thought that they were having some kind of impact when, you know, they've already paid their money. Like,
well, it
comes. Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, it comes down to, like, you could clearly see Batista trying to be a face, and he was trying to tell the audience, like, if you boo me, I boo you. If you cheer me, I cheer you. And people were just chanting CM Punk, and it's just kind of
the honest promo, like just the concept of if you boo me, I'm gonna boo you back. Like, I want that to be his legitimate gimmick. I want that to happen. It's such a weird idea that that's his way of getting back at you is I'm gonna boo you.
That is.
I think that I got to say.
I want that. I want his Titantron to say Bootista, and I want that to be his full time gimmick. Is he comes out and he boos people? Like that's he doesn't cut promos. He just boos. That's his whole character.
That's good. Go ahead.
I want Hans Moleman of Simpsons fame to be his like personal ring announcer. I was saying
that would be great, but I was just shocked to see Del Rio defeat him since WrestleMania is so close. You'd think that Batista would just be a force to reckon with there.
It was off a distraction. I mean, you can write off any number of things. Like, Del Rio didn't actually beat him, like,
correct,
straight up beat him, you know.
Yeah.
Basically came out, you know, it's the whole, you know, every wrestler's kryptonite is another wrestler's theme music. It's just, that's kind of how it works. But, I mean, it was obvious on the Chamber, and it's obvious on Monday night, that Del Rio is the face in this feud because Batista's going to be the heel against everybody. And it's not necessarily Batista's fault. Like, it doesn't help that he is clearly a bad wrestler now. Like, can't go for more than a couple minutes at a time without having to, like, take extended breaks to catch his breath. I forget who sent me this, but someone apparently on the Chamber match did, like, a calculation of all of the times that Batista was actually active, like, doing active things in the match and not standing or laying down or catching or, like, you know, selling. And it was a minute and 34 seconds of action in that match that he was actually doing. And so, like, that doesn't actually help his case, but people aren't mad at him. It's the same reason why people used to boo Cena a lot, because he's just being given to them as, this is the guy you should cheer for, he's the guy we want you to like, and people obviously have chosen someone else for the guy they like.
Right.
If they're force-fed another character, they're going to reject it. It's just like, you know, any teenager who, when their mom or dad tells them to do something, they're going to be like, fuck you, mom, you don't understand me. And that's what's going on now. So, like I said, it's not helpful that the guy that they want people to like is legitimately awful at 45. He just can't carry a match anymore. But it's not necessarily entirely his fault. He is just a product of a booking team that is very, very out of touch with what their audience is telling them weekly that they want.
Yeah.
When he went to give his part of what killed him is that when he was trying to give his, you know, I'm gonna boo you if you boo me promo, he was gasping for air to the point that I thought he was gonna pass out. Like,
yeah, no, yeah.
So, you know, it works when John Cena gives the, hey, cheer me, boo me, I'm gonna keep doing what I think is the right thing promo, because that's his character. Like, he's the most honorable wrestling character ever. It doesn't quite work when, you know, it's unclear if you're a face or a heel, and you can barely get through a 6-minute match on Raw.
Yeah, and cut a promo. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not, like I said, it doesn't help that he is not in any shape to be a main event wrestler, period. I mean, the New Age Outlaws are working circles around him, and let's not even bring Goldust into this, who's the same age and is in the best shape he has ever been in his life. I mean, yeah, he's just, he can't cut it, and he doesn't deserve the spot that he's in. Clearly, like, he has proven that he is not, I mean, even as far as main event wrestlers go, like, we all know that Cena can go with the best of people. When he wants to pull it, he can go. But when he's not, he's still just, you know, he's playing the Hulk Hogan role in the 80s, and he's doing his power moves, and he's hulking out, and he's winning matches, and he's doing sports entertainment. But he does that better than anybody. And when he has to, he can yank out the actual wrestling. But Batista can't even perform the basics of being the big sports entertainer. He can't even work, like Mike said, a 6-minute match is pushing it for him. So when you're the guy who's anchoring WrestleMania, you know, you're the guy who's going after the big gun title, and everyone's like, dude, you can barely walk to the ring and talk. Why are you in this match? You've got a big hurdle to overcome. And I truly believed with AD that they were going to add someone to that match and make it a triple threat, or they were going to change the main event entirely and get Batista out of it just because of how bad it is. But A, the WWE is two things. Number one, it's a troll that loves to make its audience pay for liking it. And two, it's the most stubborn bitch of an entertainment program in the world, and they're going to do what they set out to do, goddammit, even if you hate it. And I really think they're just going to build the feud up, and they're going to make Batista look like an asshole, and they're not going to turn Orton. Like, Orton's still going to be a heel, but they're going to start making him at least a tweener in that feud, and then they're going to put it, you know, midway through the card. They're going to have Orton, you know, just dominate Batista and pin him clean, and they're just going to move on with their day. And that's not going to be the main event. That's not going to be the second to last match. It's not going to be the third to last match. It's just going to be somewhere on the card that Randy Orton defends against a giant, out-of-shape baby. And then they'll move on, and they could, you know, if Taker's going to retire, they could make this the Undertaker's last match, and that would be a perfect reason to make that the main event. Maybe they pull a swerve on everybody and they make John Cena versus Bray Wyatt the main event of WrestleMania.
Which brings me to the Bray Wyatt John Cena thing. Do you think this has run its course? Or I kind of secretly want John Cena to like become a Wyatt brother of some sorts, just to see what would happen.
You should probably not spend a lot of time hoping for that. but I genuinely love Bray Wyatt. Like, if I can figure out a way to indicate my presence somewhere by that, like, lamb face.
Yeah, the creepy lamb mask.
I would do it. And he's the best. Like,
he is the greatest.
I'm loving every second of this thing. I wanted the Shield to win at Elimination Chamber, just because, like, I'm a fan. Like, I'm very much, I still cheer for good guys when I watch wrestling.
They're not good guys, but yeah, I know what you mean.
But they're closer than, like, satanic monsters.
I agree. So, real fast, this is just going to hijack this very briefly, but how much of a rock star was Seth Rollins in that match?
Yeah, he was great. And I kind of felt good for him because he gets the least attention of the three members of the Shield.
Even he does.
I think that he's probably the safest bet to you know, have a great match of the three of them.
Yeah, no, he showed up to that match, and he, like, Roman Reigns got, you know, he was the last guy in there, and he kind of made that statement. But, like, when, just during the match itself, Rollins took it over and tore it down to a place where, like, everyone is going to want to see him wrestle everybody.
Yeah,
he was amazing. He was amazing. But no, I agree with you, Mike. There is not, I don't think there's a single character at all on TV currently, well, on wrestling TV currently, and probably not in forever, that is as good of a character as Bray Wyatt is, and of, and how good, that, Wyndham Rotunda is at playing that character. He is fully inhabited the persona of Bray Wyatt and believes it. Every inch of his body is performing that character when he is out there. It is a perfect match of wrestler and gimmick and performance and belief. Like, you believe these guys are legitimately from the swamp and they will shoot, murder you because they're crazy. It's not even a suspension of disbelief. When those guys come out into the arena, you're like, okay, this is creepy. And it's, and you can't, you can't see past his character. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, he does a great job. Do you think John Cena is the perfect mark for them?
I think he is the perfect opponent for Bray Wyatt. I think that they're going to do really good stuff over the next 5 weeks. And, you know, if you know, I'll preface this by saying, like, given Cena's storyline track record, if he, you know, disposes of Harper and Rowan next week and we never hear from them again, I'm going to be livid. But,
Cena's injured. Cena's went away in, like, a stretcher, right?
Yeah, I mean, that looked a whole lot like a WWE quotation mark stretcher quotation.
Well, of course, but I'm saying, like, do you think they will play this out towards WrestleMania? Will he'll be injured but wrestling?
I don't think they'll stretch it out that far. I know for a couple of weeks he's going to be quote unquote injured, but there is a very distinct possibility, and this hasn't happened in forever, but given how strongly Bray Wyatt and the family have been booked recently, there is a very strong possibility, if they do it correctly, that John Cena will go into WrestleMania being an actual underdog. They can build Bray Wyatt up so big that people will not believe that John Cena can beat him because of how much torture he's put him through over the past 5 weeks. If they keep doing these injury angles and just making him, you know, try to come back and the numbers game just keeps him down and he, you know, blows out a knee or he gets an elbow hurt or something, and he just is constantly struggling through these little bits and pieces of, hey, I'm getting close to 40 and I don't have it anymore. Because like I said, his whole gimmick now is if you want to be the future, you got to come through me.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, John Cena has to, as a character, realize that he can't keep making these claims because he's old enough that people are just going to come through him because he's not all that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's still, I mean, I don't think that we're at the end of John Cena's run at the, I like John Cena a lot. I mean, I boo him every time, but I really, really enjoy watching him. You know, I think the only person who's beaten Daniel Bryan clean in the last 6 months is Bray Wyatt. And the only people to beat the Shield clean, really, I mean, is the Wyatt family. I think that it's all, I totally agree with you, Tom. I think that it's set up for, I could very well see Bray Wyatt, John Cena being the last match at WrestleMania. I think it'll be Taker Lesnar, but, you know, or my dream CM Punk triple threat. But I think that, you know, that match is going to be the one that I, you know, I'll get the most upset about when my WWE Network feed freezes.
Right.
speaking of the WWE Network, let's talk about the WWE Network. For those of you who don't know, WWE released basically an on-demand application on your iPhone, your Apple TV, Xbox that you can access for $9.99 a month, and you will get a live TV channel with 24/7 programming, and you will get an on-demand video library of every pay-per-view, TV show, and original episodes that they have. That went online Monday the 24th, and we've each had a few days to play around with it. That's what she said. And what are you guys' opinions? Let's start with Tom.
If you've been playing around with it for a few days, you must be the numbest man alive.
I have gotten my practice in, sir.
So I'm probably going to be the minority in this conversation. I'm likely not going to keep it after the one-week trial.
Boo!
You must explain yourself.
I will. So, there's obviously been a lot of glitches with it in terms of performance. Now, I will absolutely and willingly admit that the last couple days, the on-demand stuff has worked more often than it has not worked. I do think their navigation sucks right now, but that's stuff you fix. I mean, that's easy. That's just, hey, this is a more intelligent way to design navigation. Let's change it. I'm not going to hold that against them, but for the for a while there, it was unusable, which is terrible. I guess for me, like, yeah, I like the old stuff, but I've got a collection of DVDs and I've got access to YouTube for just certain matches now and again, and that's not going to entirely appeal to me. I think if it were a true month-to-month purchase like Hulu or Netflix, I would be a little bit more, willing to plop down the $60 or the $10 a month when I wanted to use it to use it. But most of the pay-per-views in a calendar year are bad, first of all. WrestleMania right now is not looking good for the most part, or it could turn out to be bad. And also, as much as I loved NXT Arrival, which we don't have to talk about tonight, but it was fantastic, there's still a lot of stuff with the current booking of the product that I have an issue with, and I feel like if I pay that $60 to them, even if it's for the old stuff, I'm co-signing on, I agree with the direction you're taking this company, and I want to wait and see if they change the way they're doing a couple things and make me a more satisfied fan before I am willing to give them $60 of my money every 6 months for a product that, has a history of making me fairly aggravated. And my case in point on this is the Daniel Bryan Triple H match. I agree with what Mike said up front, where it is a completely logical and good match for Daniel Bryan to be in, and it's also a good catharsis for his character, and it's also a very, very high-profile match. Triple H is not The Undertaker, obviously, but in the last couple of years, if he had a match at WrestleMania, it was a big deal. So it's a very big deal that Daniel Bryan would go against him. My issue with that match is how it's currently being booked on television, which Daniel Bryan comes up and he says, I want to fight you. Makes perfect sense. I want to fight you at WrestleMania. Also makes perfect sense, sort of. Yes, you should probably want the title, and yes, the audience wants you to get the title, but it makes sense that the reason you don't have the title is all tied back to one dude, and you should certainly want to get revenge on him. That's all well and good. What my issue is when he came out, Daniel Bryan, that is, and talked to the WWE Universe, saying, hey, Triple H, every single person in this arena is chanting yes, and what that means is they want me to fight you. And that is not why people are chanting yes. That's not why I'm chanting yes. That's not why everyone in that audience is chanting yes. They're chanting yes because they want this person to win the title more than anything in their lives. And by WWE writing that match into something that started as organically as the quote-unquote yes movement, which obviously has already been co-opted into the storytelling. That started organically by a bunch of people that wanted to see this guy succeed, and it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. Over the past year, it's been growing every single month to the point where that guy comes out and every person in the audience has their hands up in the air. I haven't seen someone that over since Stone Cold Steve Austin as a universal acceptance of a character. And to take something that started organically as a quote-unquote revolution to a certain extent and then wormed its way into programming and basically say, what you guys are chanting for is not what you're chanting for. Now, please agree with me. Because obviously the whole thing was, if you want me to chant Triple H, chant yes, because that's what we're fighting for. And you're co-opting something that started as something to undermine the authority, and now it's being used as a way to, you know, underhandedly put what the WWE agenda is into WrestleMania. And I think it's a very, 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 very bad way to handle it. Like I said, it's probably the only way they could have handled it that would have made me as mad as it did. Because, again, Triple H and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania is a good idea, and it's a great match and win slash if Daniel Bryan makes him tap out or pins him with the knee, the audience is going to go crazy because they want to see an asshole heel get his comeuppance. But that issue is we are being purposely distracted from a title run to feed this weird feud that doesn't need that type of promotion. And Triple H has been so inconsistent as a heel since SummerSlam. He has weeks where he is the most vile asshole on the planet. Then next week he's out there cutting face promos about how the universe is awesome and giving Randy Orton shit. Then he turns around and is a heel again. There's such a disconnect between that storyline and what's currently happening that it's kind of making me fed up. And we'll see what happens next week. I'm not going to say I'm done with wrestling by any means. But if in the next 2 or 3 weeks they keep using this yes movement to mean we want you to fight Triple H, I feel like that's doing a lot of people's lot of hard work a huge disservice.
So, I mean, are you saying that you, because what will make you keep the WWE network if they do something right or not? Or are you just unsold completely off of it?
No, I'm not sold off of it because the nice thing about wrestling is that it can and does change weekly. And again, I have no problem with the plotting of WrestleMania 30 and how and what they want to accomplish, but I feel as though how they are accomplishing it is a very, very, very bad move and is fairly insulting to the people that have been, you know, Daniel Bryan supporters since long before he was ever even in the title picture. You know,
yeah.
Yes, like the yes movement started long before he was put in that SummerSlam match. He was put in that SummerSlam match because people wouldn't shut up about him. And that crowd reaction has carried him for so long. And WrestleMania is the place to do it. If you're going to do it, do it. And there was also a very, very, very good chance that because he wrestles 2 matches a night all the goddamn time anyway, that he was going to make part of that match with Triple H. I want to fight you, and if I beat you, you're putting me in the main event of WrestleMania, and I'll wrestle again and win the championship. And that would have been perfect.
We could still see that.
Huh?
I think we could still see that.
And you're right, we could. But again, I want to see how they book that in there, because I truly do believe that if WrestleMania 30 goes off the air with anything other than Daniel Bryan holding that belt, it's the wrong booking decision. Even if he loses it in a month, even if he loses it in 2 months, even if whatever happens, this is where you culminate a year's worth of storytelling, and the Daniel Bryan story has been going on for a year, even if it's been behind the scenes and not in the writer's pen, you know, hitting the script. Your audience has been telling themselves the Daniel Bryan story since the beginning of this year, and this is the time to pull that trigger. This is the time to say, here's your guy. And like I said, he can lose it, because I agree with Mike as well. I'm enjoying the chase he's on. I think Daniel Bryan does work extremely well as a title chaser, maybe not so much a title haver. We've never seen him have a title reign because he loses it in 24 hours every time he wins it. It's great that he is a chaser, and I think you could make him a champion for a couple months, overcome a couple enemies, and then finally lose again, and then chase the title again and go from there. But if you really don't pull the trigger on this guy soon, you're just going to lose all the momentum that you've been building up, and I just feel that the only reason he would not pull the trigger on it is if you are staunchly in opposition to pleasing your audience. And, yeah, there's a lot of great matches.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think
Mike, what is your opinion on the WWE Network? Are you going to get rid of it?
No, God, no.
You like it.
I think that you'd have a better chance of finding me dead with my iPhone or Apple TV in my arm than me ever getting rid of the WWE Network. I mean, I'm a total, like, there's almost nothing the WWE could do to get me to stop watching. I've been through some pretty lean times with the WWE in terms of storytelling.
We all lived through the mid-2000s. God, that was dark.
And, I mean, you know, I saw Mabel win the King of the Ring, rest in peace. Like, so, you know, I think that all the technical stuff, like, it's legitimately frustrating, and I could absolutely see somebody saying, like, there's no reason for me to pay $10 now when in 3 months it's going to be better. I just, you know, realistically, in 2013, I think I ordered 4 pay-per-views, maybe 5. 2012, about the same. So, I mean, it just makes sense for me to do it anyways. I love all the old stuff. Like, I was eating breakfast yesterday watching an episode of Raw from 1993. That's, like, if you had told me I could do that in 1993, my head would have exploded. Like, it's...
I really like it too. Like, I've been watching some of the old pay-per-views, even like WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 3. I watched SummerSlam 2002. You know, I watched some of the interviews with Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, you know. It's a really cool way to get whatever pay-per-view you really want. Now, with what Tom said, yes, there's always bugs when something first comes out. And I think that, you know, in time we might see a search option. We might see, you know, instead of watching a whole pay-per-view, you'll have, you know, you can go to a certain match besides
well,
just...
Well, they've got that when you, a lot of the pay-per-views are tagged.
Yeah.
Where you can actually go to a particular spot.
Yeah.
Which is a nice feature. It's like DVD chapters.
Yeah, if you do a search for like a certain wrestler or something like that, it brings up all of their matches, and you can, and then like it brings it up where, like, you know, like I typed in like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and one of the options was, hey, watch his Backlash match against Chris Jericho. You tap it, and then it just brings directly up that match, so you can just navigate right to a certain match if you want it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that just only on the PC?
I did that on the iPad Mini, so no, it's not only PC.
All right, because I didn't see that option on the Apple TV, so
it's on there. You gotta scroll a little bit at the top menu. There's a search.
Okay.
There's a search button on there. Anyways, I think it's, you know, I'm enough of a you know, I guess mark is the right word, that I'm kind of proud that I'm in it while we're going through the bugs, which I realize as a consumer is probably dumb, but here we are. And I'm really scared that I'm going to watch, you know, a bunch of frozen screens for 4 hours for WrestleMania 30. And if that's the case, I'm going to be pretty upset, but it's not like I'm not going to watch Extreme Rules the following month. I mean, they've got me. I think that actually is the – I think that that's the thing that we as loyal fans don't put enough stock into with the Daniel Bryan thing is that, you know, the people who get, like, the people who take to Twitter, and I'm one of them, who take to Twitter after the Royal Rumble and talk about how furious they are that Daniel Bryan is not, was not in it, are not the people who WWE is concerned about. Because if I bought your pay-per-view, immediately took to Twitter to talk about your pay-per-view, and then watched Raw the following night to see if you were going to right the wrong from Sunday, my money is safely in your pocket. You know, I think that it's the, and so the Yes Movement is very much a group of people who were already into wrestling, which is great. Like, it does make for, it's partly why the live crowds are so receptive and supportive of him, is because live crowds are typically, like, a more passionate subset of the audience.
Yep.
And so I think that, you know, like, Batista, I'm sure that there's somebody in the writer's room right now saying, well, but, you know, if our champion is doing press for Guardians of the Galaxy, that's a big win for us. And I think that that's still, you know, that's still kind of floating around. Daniel Bryan doesn't, may not bring in people who don't like wrestling in the first place, but realistically, you know, the only person who probably did that was, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin and maybe The Rock. Hulk Hogan in the 80s, you know, like, it's really hard to get people who don't like wrestling to watch wrestling.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that.
And my personal opinion is, unless you have one of those guys, you should just roll with what you have, you know? And so I think that what we'll see, that's why, like, I'm not too worried about Daniel Bryan leaving WrestleMania as champion. But I do think that he needs to, you know, his match with Triple H at WrestleMania needs to have some kind of title match stipulation. And he needs to win. I mean, like, you know, the chase can only go on for so long before you start to lose interest in it.
Yeah.
But with respect to WWE Network, I think it's just absolutely amazing, and that's even with the 2 days where it just didn't work.
Well, that's even a cool thing, because for those 2 days where it worked but it had a lot of bugs, they kind of fixed it in 48 hours. It's pretty decent. Considering how many people they had to get on the MLB servers or whatever. But I'm all for it. I'm in it. You know, I'm enjoying it. Let's talk a little bit about tonight's event, the NXT. What do you guys think?
I loved it. I missed the match that I was most excited about, which was Paige's title defense. I love Paige.
You were the only person who was most excited about that match. And I mean, it was good. I will not downplay that match, because it was a good match. But, like, when Sami Zayn, Antonio Cesaro is on the card, and that's not your most anticipated match, I don't know how that's possible.
It's...
The Cesaro-Sami Zayn match was incredible. I loved it. It was great.
It's a cool thing that they're doing. I really like it.
All my negativity aside, if they had monthly NXT pay-per-views, I would pay for the network in a blink of an eye. If they did that monthly and had a 2-hour live NXT special alongside the actual pay-per-views, which wouldn't be hard for them to do, I would absolutely sink my $10 into the network regardless. Period.
Why is that?
Because I think NXT is the best wrestling show on the planet. In terms of how they write their characters, the matches they put on, it is a show about wrestling with logical, well-thought-out wrestling storylines. Most of the time, no one's perfect all the time. but most of the time, the characters have a reason to be fighting. They're not thrown into random feuds. They don't talk like babies. They are all great in the ring. Everything about NXT speaks to me as a wrestling fan, and I would. And I mean, that NXT Rival pay per view was better back to front than any WWE pay per view I can remember in the last year.
So do you?
It didn't have anything. Well, it did have something as good as, you know, Bray Wyatt, Daniel Bryan, and Shield NXT or Shield Wyatt, because Sami Zayn and Cesaro was awesome. But back to front, that was an excellent pay per view that hit all the right things.
So why do you think that the WWE doesn't do that? Do you think it's like the egos backstage? Do you think that's because they?
I think it's because exactly what Mike said. They're not concerned with the people who are paying them money all the time and just have their money, because they're going to watch the pay-per-views, they're going to watch Raw, they're going to watch everything regardless of how good or bad it is. So NXT is kind of like the consolation prize for that. You know, it's a small audience made up of mostly people who are, you know, quote-unquote smarks, and they get wrestling and they like wrestling and they know how to respond to wrestling. You know, like, the Ascension match was A, good, and B, the audience was chanting, "We want Yah" for Conor O'Brien because he says Yah when he hits people. Like, that was the chant for him, and he was getting into it. Like, it's fun to watch because the crowd understands the product and, you know, unlike the Raw crowd from last week, knows what their place is in a wrestling environment, and that is to make the match more energetic and more fun and more interesting because of the chanting and how much they get into it. It's not their job to derail it or say whatever. This is what they're supposed to do. And I think week to week to week, NXT is the best booked and best performed wrestling show possibly anywhere, and definitely from what WWE produces. So yeah, if I had to pay $10 a month to watch a monthly pay-per-view, quote-unquote pay-per-view, from NXT, a two-hour special, it wouldn't even be a concern. I would pay that money up front automatically. Now, the other thing with the network, I am waiting. I probably am going to let my trial expire, and I'll keep watching Raw through March. But if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it in April when WrestleMania starts up, because why pay $10 for a month that has no pay-per-views in it? And it's all just legacy content, which is fine and good, but if I'm going to start paying my $10, I might as well start in the month that has a pay-per-view and then get that one extra for my $60, because right now I'd be paying $60 for 5 pay-per-views and not 6.
Yeah. I mean, just going, even with the pay-per-views, even the on-demand content on the WWE Network is worth it to me, because just going back and just for example, watching the Kurt Angle Rey Mysterio match from SummerSlam 2002, it's just that match was so good, and just I don't really see that a whole lot these days. How fast paced it is, and you know, hardcore it was.
Oh yeah, no, it's great, and I'm not. I certainly understand the appeal of paying for the legacy content, but I guess for me, I have spent so many months not watching that legacy content. I can afford to wait one more month, and it's not going anywhere. It's just going to get better.
True.
We cannot afford to wait.
I can wait for a month and not watch any legacy content, and then pick up and see how WrestleMania goes. I mean, it's going to be very hard for me not to just go ahead and say pull the trigger on it. But there is a lot of things about Raw that I am disliking. And there's a lot of things about Raw that I'm loving, and there's a lot of things about NXT that I'm loving, and obviously there's tons of things about the stuff that I watched in the past that I love. But there are just those little nagging things that does bother me, and I think the assumption that the WWE has is people like me are just going to buy the network because we're just going to buy it, and I kind of want to prove them wrong, sort of, until they are making me 100% satisfied as a consumer.
But
that's kind of where I'm at. Like, yeah, am I mostly happy with it? Yeah. Look at all the great wrestling that I get. But I watch Raw every week on my TV that I don't have to pay for, besides, you know, just the normal cable that you pay for as a human. But, like, I watch Raw every week. I don't have to pay $10 for that. I watch NXT. I already have Hulu for other things. I use and I watch NXT that way. Why add that extra $10 that is pretty much primarily going to go just to them? And I don't have, you know, 3 hours every night to go and watch an old pay-per-view back to front. I just don't have that time. I'm not going to watch legacy matches so often that that $10 becomes worth it to me. It's really going to come worth it to me to watching the pay-per-views in high quality and streaming HD. And I have absolutely no problem paying for a product that I truly love. And WWE is so close. And I think that's why it bothers me more. Because there's just that little bitty piece about the puzzle that's not fitting at the moment. And it just seems like they're not making it fit because they just don't want to. It's not like they don't know how. It's not like they don't have the ability. They're just not letting it fully take effect, which is kind of where my hesitation to just be the guy who's going to give them the $10 because they expect me to is coming in. Like I said, I'm still going to watch Raw for the next couple weeks. I'm still going to keep up on the programming. I'm still going to be a live tweeting fiend on Monday nights and make my opinions known. But until I'm kind of more sure that they're not just trolling us again, I'm not sure that $10 a month is really the best use of my money until I know that I'm on board with what they're currently doing.
And I, you know, when you said you pay for cable, I got rid of cable a year ago, and I use Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime. So this step that they've taken to do an app, I think a lot of other companies are going to do that. I think the CW and Fox already has an app, but they're going to start charging for it. So it'll be like a la carte or HBO Go.
My principle's a bit different because it's built into my rent. So
okay.
I also don't, like, for 10 years, I've never paid for cable. I've done what you did, Netflix, Hulu, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I moved into this place, they have like a joint venture where it's like you pay us $30 a month and we give you basic cable. It's just built into your rent and you can't say no because they're already paying for the whole complex to have it.
Okay.
So that's kind of, so I watch Raw on USA because I have it. But I don't have a choice in the matter. It's just kind of like, you know, I have to pay that money. Otherwise I would, still be where you guys are. I would be a Hulu and Netflix only guy. But still, like I said, I mean, $10 a month does not seem like a lot. It really doesn't. But for me, it's more about the
content.
It's more about the principle, really, than the content. Because, like I said, I do watch a lot of wrestling, don't get me wrong. But I know that if I had access to those pay-per-views, I'm not going to spend 3 hours every night or every two nights watching a full-length pay-per-view. I've got other things that I need to be doing with my time. I'll still watch them on the weekends for sure. And like I said, eventually I probably am going to go ahead and bite the bullet and just pay the $60 and see how it goes. But there have been a lot of glitches, and I definitely share Mike's concern about, you know, I'm paying this money for WrestleMania 30, and we already saw NXT Arrival have a pretty major glitch for a lot of people for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of the middle of the show just stopped working, and for some people they never got it back. Like mine came back, a lot of people did come back, but for some people they were not able to finish that event. And that was an NXT quote-unquote pay-per-view where the viewership on that show is not high, and obviously the WrestleMania 30 is a massive event that if they don't get their servers straight or their stuff straightened out in a month, we are going to be seeing an extremely choppy pay-per-view, and that's not going to be a good experience for them whatsoever.
Yeah, what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, the WrestleMania thing is like a total... it's something that I'm genuinely concerned about, because the NXT Arrival event worked great on my computer, switched over to the TV, and I started having problems. That would be catastrophic for me.
I watched it on my computer, and it was everywhere. It didn't matter what you watched it on. Like, every person on my feed on Twitter who was commenting was like,
okay,
stop for everyone else. Is it working? Like, what's going on? I can only see Tyler Breeze's head. What's happening?
Yeah, that's where it went haywire for me.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with what you were watching it on. It was a a network-wide outage for everybody. And that, like I said, that was on a, you know, D-tier show. That, granted, I'm sure it had more viewings than, like, just random programming that has been on live. Yeah. But that certainly wasn't one of the premier events that people were actively seeking out, where the people who buy this are actively seeking out WrestleMania. I mean, they're going to have, I would venture to say, close to 100% of all the people that are subscribers are going to be watching that event live. I can't imagine there would be almost anybody except people who just can't be home or can't watch it because they're not physically able to.
Right.
I would bet you next to 100% of every subscriber they have is tuning in for WrestleMania, which, I mean, given the amount of issues they've had over the past 2 days, just with startup and then with this live stream, you know, at least before, if the on-demand content wasn't working, the live content always seemed to load correctly, and now, during the first time that they have a live wrestling event on the network, it crashes for 5 minutes for everyone.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll see another live NXT event before WrestleMania, even if it's really just an exercise in testing their servers a little bit.
Sure.
You know, I still think we're 4 days in to this first-of-its-kind network, and it seems to be working better every day.
I agree.
I'm optimistic. I'm not gonna pay the extra $60 to order WrestleMania through my cable provider. I'm gonna try my luck with the network.
Yeah. We'll see.
And I think it's gonna be good. I also think that we'll see. I think that we'll see over the next 2 weeks. Tom, I think that we'll see episodes of Monday Night Raw that address a lot of your concerns. I think that the show is less hard-headed than it appears right now. And so I think Monday Night Raw is going to be really good.
Like I said, by and large, last week's Raw was excellent. It had excellent wrestling. It had excellent wrestling matches. The storylines were all good. The Bray Wyatt Cena stuff was good. They absolutely had me fooled on that being a real injury. I mean, it was a good Raw, but just that one little piece of, you know, we're going to undermine what you've been doing with this chant for the last year as part of the build to WrestleMania, and, you know, having the guy who is the figurehead of that chant tell the audience, this is what you're cheering for, right? Isn't this what you're cheering for? Was just very, very... It was just such a bad move on their part to totally switch the meaning of that chant into whatever they think it should mean to help build the pay-per-view. I just didn't feel that was a smart booking decision whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, I haven't lost faith. I'm not saying, well, if they're not going to give, you know, the Daniel Bryan a title shot at this pay-per-view, I'm just not going to watch. Because, yeah, there's certainly logical storylines to not have that happen, but I feel like they are actively going the route of almost taking joy from a writer's or booker's perspective of how much they're making the audience angry. And it has to end at some point. It's all well and good to troll your audience. It's all well and good to keep them wanting. It's all well and good to keep poking at them and saying, you know, don't you wish this was better? Don't you wish this was better? You better turn in to see how it's going to get better. But it's almost to the point where they have no plans of making it better. They just want to keep poking it and poking it and poking it and seeing how long it takes you to give up. And like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we all get what we want in WrestleMania and we have a good event that, you know, makes fans happy to be wrestling fans, and by and large, this is a good time to be a wrestling fan. We get legitimate, you know, wrestling matches on TV where, you know, we mentioned before in 2005, 2006, those are the times where it kind of sucked to be a wrestling fan because of bad storylines and bad stars. I mean, we are getting really,
much,
really
yeah.
good matches on TV every week for free, and I am not at all trying to complain about any of that. There's just little bits and pieces that just bug me, and it seems so intentional and so easily fixed that's where a lot of my concerns come in from. It's not like they're just, you know, happenstance not getting their shit together and they just don't know what to do and they're just writing themselves into corners because they're incompetent. I would be more forgiving of that than something that they clearly know the outcome and they clearly know the right answer. Their audience tells them every day the right answer, and they're actively not giving it to them, which makes it harder for me to swallow.
Yeah. To wrap this amazing podcast up, here's a question for each of you. If you have your chance to book a WrestleMania match, who would it be with, and what type of match would it be? And think outside the box. We'll start with you, Mike.
Are you asking?
Like, are the Dead available?
Yeah, the Dead is available.
Oh, okay.
So like, we can book any match. Like, we can just say, you know.
Yeah, this is a fantasy match. A fantasy match.
So it's not like who we want to wrestle at WrestleMania. It's what would we put on the card, just if we could.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm with you. And this one, real simple. CM Punk, Randy Savage, just one-on-one standard match.
One fall.
One fall to the finish.
Wow. I'd watch that. What about you?
Yeah, we'd be bringing back the Dead, so it'd be pretty incredible.
What about you, Tom?
That's a sing. Oh yeah. See, that's hard because I'm trying to think in terms of storyline matches. But if it was just a generic WrestleMania, not necessarily this one, but it was just. What match would I like to showcase?
Yeah,
for everyone to see. I would love to see maybe 2 out of 3 falls, maybe an Iron Man, but probably just a good long singles match between Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn. I would want to see that forever.
That would be awesome. That would be really cool.
It's still possible. You got some hope.
Yeah, I mean, like, ideally, I would love to see more Chris Benoit matches. I wish I could still see matches. I don't know how that ended, but I mean, he could make anybody look good. He was one of the best wrestlers of all time, and right now, you know, if he were still a living being that wasn't the worst at being a person, he would fit perfectly. In the kind of matches that are going on right now. I mean, I would watch Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, and Eddie Guerrero take on the Shield right now.
That would be awesome.
Amazing.
Sure. I mean, the match doesn't take place in hell, but sure.
I think my match would be a TLC match between Shane McMahon, Kurt Angle, Tommy Dreamer, and RVD.
I don't think anyone loves Shane McMahon's in-ring work as much as you do.
I really do.
Out of all those wrestlers, you put Shane McMahon before Kurt Angle.
If anyone
wrestle, it would be the son of a millionaire who's not a wrestler.
Yeah, but he takes chances.
Jogging chances, bring it tired.
Yeah. So, like, in that case, why don't you just have a Shane McMahon versus New Jack on a Top of the Empire State Building match?
I would like that. And then at the end of the match, Stone Cold would come out and give everybody stunners. Just a perfect way to end it. But, yeah, that is our second WWE podcast for the Multimedia Men. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. I am joined by Mike Pertil in Los Angeles and Tom Nix of the Smart Marks in Oklahoma, and I am Brian Kluger, and we will be back next month with some more WWE news. Say goodbye, fellas.
Good talking to you guys.
All right.